So then, guys, hello and welcome to another episode of the Exit 8 podcast. Today we've got myself, John, and Darren here talking to you, and we are indeed both former far-right members. So then, Darren, one thing that the far-right really seek to do is divide communities. You know, these guys are looking to cause tension between, you know, the white British community and the black British community, you know, the British Asian communities as well. These guys are seeking to cause that division, and you know, we see this happen in various different ways, from holding demonstrations in very multicultural areas to, you know, stickering and leafleting, and the whole ambition here is to cause that division, to break people apart, and of course the more extreme elements of the far right will do this in order to try and prepare communities for, of course, what they call the race war, where, you know, a lot of these far-right, you know, extremists believe that that one day there's going to be a massive race war where, you know, the white British community stand up and they fight against all these other different communities. And you know, you're looking, you know, the thinking to divide the community for those reasons, really. Is this something that you experienced as well when you was involved? Did you see a lot of, you know, ambition to divide community?
When I was involved in the EDL, you would see basically different groups turning up, John, you know, in the organizations, and they pretend to be sort of like on your wavelength, and then after a week or two they'd obviously be they'd announce who they were by showing the far right t-shirts under their jackets all of a sudden. But what they do is they try and befriend you or connect with you first of all before they do that, so that you feel like you've got some sort of, as weak as it is, some sort of bond there, and very hard to pull away from them when they approach you and talk to you and gather around you. So that's one way of dividing, is to try and befriend, give you a feeling of you know them very quickly. And then it's very, if nothing else, embarrassingly, you have to pull away, although it sounds a bit silly that, because you would want to steer clear entirely once they announce who they are. But human nature being human nature, people being on the spot, it's very, you know, for some it's very difficult then to sort of pull away almost immediately, you know. So there's ways of dividing it, but the reality is, I mean, if we share a common love, I mean, we've all got our different passions. You know, it's very hard to divide us if we look for things that unite us. And one of those things is, you know, whatever your passion is. But I mean, certainly, like, I mean, with me, it was growing up, it was football. I mean, I'd play on broken glass for football. I really would growing up. That's how passionate I was and still am around a football game. So, you know, when you have that feeling of all pulling together, you know, you're diving into a tackle for your mate, and it doesn't matter whether they're sort of white, black, or brown. You know, you're all pulling in the same team. So that's the answer for me. You know, is sports are very, very big, it's very unifying, and at grassroots, locally, you see it every Sunday morning. Although it has dwindled quite a lot, grassroots football in my town, but you do see it every morning. You know, people playing for each other, running for each other, you know, running off the ball is making an effort for someone else. You know, you're not asking what color that person is.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not asking what color that person is that you're running off the ball for. It's just teammate. It's just your mate.
Absolutely. You know?
So when people sort of like try and sort of like intervene on that, you know, you just got to be aware, you know, where your passions lie elsewhere. If you're ever sort of like a victim of that, you're in a scenario, a situation, you're befriended and you think you can't pull away from someone, you know, revisit your passion, you know, what your true love is. Get there as quick as you possibly can, whether it's the next Sunday or it's next Saturday, and then you'll see where your real sense of loyalty belongs. And that's in the community, you know, helping each other, pulling up for each other, you know. And at the end of the game, it's all handshakes. It's all slaps on the back with each other. It's down the pub, or if you're not drinking, it's wherever. But you're going away, you're talking about a shared experience. The far right don't want that. They'd rather, they want to divide us. But we need them grassroots levels games to to carry on going. It's so important in communities, so important. We've lost a lot of football pitches, certainly in Luton. We've lost a lot of our football leagues, local leagues, and it's such a unifying experience. It really is, you know. And it's not only that. You've got all the rivalries, friendly rivalry with the other teams, and then you're sharing all the stories and a bit of banter backwards and forwards, and you're learning off of each other what you can take from each other. You know, it's all said in good spirits, you know, about footballing abilities and stuff. You know, but far right, they don't want that. They don't want that. They, you know, they wouldn't want us playing, and you know, a white person playing in the same football team as a black person. They'd want to see our differences before we even go out on the pitch. You know, but sport ain't like that.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, you just mentioned that when you're playing in the team, you know, the colour of your skin doesn't matter. It's the colour of the shirt that you pull on, and you know, somebody's wearing a blue shirt or a red shirt or a white shirt, you know, the same one as you. You know, you don't care if they're, you know, black or, you know, as you say, Asian, or even if they're gay, straight, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, you're all a team, you're all together, you're all united as one. And that's something that football does, you know, absolutely brilliantly. You know, it doesn't always have to mean playing. You know, non-league football, it is the heart of the community. Your football teams are the heart of the community. And, you know, Darren, you've had a very unique experience seeing your football team go from non-league right the way up to the professional level and currently in the second tier of English football. And, you know, you probably won't like me talking about this, but, you know, at the time of recording this, they're three games away from the top tier of English football. But these non-league clubs, they are the heart of the community. You know, these non-league clubs, they rely on people coming together. They rely on volunteers. You know, they rely on people to volunteer their time to mow the grass and to paint the fences and, you know, to clean up the rubbish after the games. You know, these non-league clubs are the heart of the community. And, you know, if you go down to your local non-league team, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your skin colour, your religion, you know, your gender, your sexuality. You'll be accepted and you'll be welcomed, because that's what these non-league clubs are about. They're about community. And again, at these non-league clubs, you see a lot of community days where people will go into the club and, you know, they'll have a bit of food together or they'll have a drink together, and, you know, they'll just chat about how they can move the club forward, and you can be part of that if you go and volunteer. You know, as Darren mentioned there, a lot of these non-league clubs are fading away. A lot of these grassroots clubs are fading away. And, you know, a lot of that is because they don't have these volunteers to keep the club running anymore. They don't have the money coming through the turnstiles to keep the club financed. And unfortunately, we're losing this huge part of British culture. And it's something that we want to keep alive, and it's something that we want to, you know, keep diverse and keep a safe place for the community. So if you are listening to this, I'd encourage anybody to go down to your local non-league football teams. You know, we're currently in May at the time of recording this. It's the end of the season. You know, people are looking for volunteers now. You know, they're looking for people to volunteer to help with these refurbishments of the stadium. You know, they're looking for people to volunteer to take a role throughout the season. But, you know, depending on when this podcast comes out, even if we're not in the off-season anymore, you can still go down and volunteer. They're always looking for helping hands. Or even if you don't want to volunteer, even if you just want to go and watch a game, you know, more times than not in non-league, you're paying less than a tenner to go and watch 90 minutes of football, played at a level where people play for the love of the game. They play for the love of football. You know, it isn't like the glitz and glamour of the Premier League where, you know, they're earning hundreds of thousands of pounds every week. You know, these players are you know, to use an old wrestling term, they're playing for a hot dog and a handshake. You know, they're playing because they love the sport, and it's a brilliant thing to get behind. It's a, you know, more often than not, it's a very family-friendly atmosphere, and, you know, these clubs are, you know, are the heart of the community, so I'd encourage anybody to get behind it. But yeah, Darren, is there anything else you'd like to add on the grassroots of football? Or
I'd just like to say you're right, because if you go to your local side at that level, they know your name, John, within a week or two.
Yeah.
They know your name. You go there and you can be not part of the furniture, but you could be part of something. You know, I mean, with my club, we're like Phoenix rising out of the ashes when we went dropped down to the non-league, and it galvanized everybody. We felt there was, you know, we wanted to build something again. And there's a lot of non-league clubs there needing that local support. You know, not everyone's got that local fan base, but there's clubs out there needing people to go there to help them. They're trying to build something. So you can help them build that. You can become part of that. You can turn up and know your name. You can be part of that building process. And every week, you know, that's your club. That's your club. Whether you're taking your son, your grandson, get the shirt on, like you said, share a bit of food with the players after the game. That's community there. That's community there. And in 10 years, you who knows where that club, where you would have helped to take that club. And the experiences that you've had in doing so, it would change you. It changes you. It builds your character. You feel good about yourself. You know, you've put something back into the community. You know, long after your days have gone, that club keep going. And so your name would be ringing around that club still. It's something.
It really absolutely. Is. And non-league is so unique as well. Like, I can't even tell you the amount of times where I've gone to a non-league game and end up jumping on the players' coach to get home. And, you know, when I say get home, I mean get home. You know, these players' coaches, they'll take you to your front door if you know you go to enough of the games and they know you well enough. You know, one of my, it's not football, but it's grassroots rugby. One of my granddad's friends lives about 30 miles away from the rugby club, and the chairman will come and pick him up every game and pick him up from his house and take him to the match and then bring him home, because he's been going for 20-odd years now. And, you know, these grassroots sports, you see this sort of, you know, brilliant lengths of community happen all the time. And, you know, as you said, Darren, there, you go to 2, 3, 4 games, you know, the people behind the bar will know your name, the pilot will know your name. And like you say, after every game, the players are in the bar, they're having a bit of food, they're having a drink, you can talk to the players, you can have a chat with them. And it is a million miles away from the glitz and glamour of the Premier League, where these players are protected and, you know, you can't have a conversation with them or anything. And for me, I absolutely love non-league. Whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm not, you know, following my professional club up and down the country, you know, it's a bank holiday game, I'll always go and watch non-league football. And, you know, it is just a fantastic sense of coming together. And if you want a shining example of how good non-league football can be, if I'm honest with you, you know, watching this, it's gave me a little bit of a soft spot for the club. You know, look what's happened to Wrexham over the past couple of seasons with the likes of Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney coming into the club. You know, they've had this big series about them on Disney Plus, and, you know, I'm not sure if you've seen that yourself, Darren, but, you know, watching that series and watching that club come from, you know, spending, was it 15 years in non-league to now this season getting up into League Two, it's cracking to watch. And, you know, you've seen 10,000 every week at a non-league game. You know, Notts County, very similar to Wrexham, they're getting, you know, upwards of 10,000 every week. You know, it's fantastic to see. And, you know, you look at some of these clubs, you know, that are in non-league now that have previously been in the league and been a big major force. You know, one that comes to my head straight away is Scarborough. You know, Scarborough used to be an established league side, and, you know, they've unfortunately dropped out now. But, you know, some of these massive clubs are still gaining, you know, 1,000 supporters every week. And, you know, I'd encourage you to go down and just be a part of it and just experience that atmosphere and see what it's like for yourself.
It's a great buzz.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a hub, and it's a great buzz within that hub. You know, you see all the likes of Notts Counties, and they've gone through that. You know, it's just a great buzz to be part of that. Your local size, your local side. And, you know, there's nothing, you being part of that community. And like I say, everyone knowing your name and doing your little bit for your community, it probably doesn't get much better than that. You know, you can actually take part. Do you know what I mean? It's just take part in it. And it's there to be had, because all them clubs are looking to survive, and they can only do that by support. And support don't necessarily come with money. It comes with just like you putting like 2 hours a week in. If everyone done that, the clubs would thrive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course, our support Luton Town, which has got lots of people that do that. Lots of people do that, from people that are organising the coaches that raise the money, you know, for the physios and everything else from them coaches, do it in their own time. For away games. I mean, it's brilliant. It's just really great. And without people doing that, where would we all be? Where would we be? So it's take part. Don't be embarrassed about it. You know, it's just cross that barrier, get down there, and take part.
it's rewarding as well. It's so rewarding when you know that when you go to that game on a Saturday, and again, you're paying less than a tenner to go to these games. Like, you know, where else can you go and watch 90 minutes of football played at a decent level where you can go with all your mates and, you know, combined you're spending less than 50 quid to go and watch, you know, for five of you to go and watch a match. You know, you go to Glitz and Glamour in the Premier League, you're paying that for one of you to go and watch.
I mean, I speak to some, believe it or not, some Watford lads. You know, as I work on my job and building sites as well. And they were saying, Darren, Luton get to the Prem, you might not like it. And I said, of course I will. Luton in the Prem, brilliant. They said, well, a lot of them lads are now watching sort of like, oh, I forget what they said. Was it Boreham Wood or sort of, they like their 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon kickoff, and they like that more intimate. They felt like the Prem's lost its intimacy for them because they were buying tickets and for a Saturday, and then it was getting changed to a Tuesday or something, and they couldn't make it. So they're going down to the local club. They said they're having a great time, you know, really having a great time. They felt they were missing out on something after they've been to that club, to be honest. So, yeah, it's get down there and support your local club if you can for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like you just mentioned there, the non-league football, it's either Tuesday 7:45 kickoff or a Saturday 3 o'clock. You can guarantee that they'll play at them times every week. You know, you're not going to get a Thursday night fixture or a Sunday morning fixture. It's always Saturday 3 o'clock or Tuesday 7:45. And you know, just think of the, you know, the pride that you can take if you volunteer 2 hours on a Monday night after work to, you know, go and you know, just do some drainage of the pitch, you know, just go and, you know, poke some holes with a fork in the pitch and keep the drainage off, and then on a Saturday, you know, that you played your part on getting that game on and you know, letting the players you know, entertain, you know, a couple of hundred fans. You know, it's at the end of the day, you're supporting your community, you know, you're supporting the people around you, you're supporting where you grew up, and you know, you're supporting your team. And for me, I struggle to find anything better. You know, for the things in life that I've committed, you know, I now follow my professional team a lot more. But you know, there's nothing quite like non-league, and you know, I absolutely do love that non-league. So again, this is just a call for you guys to support your local community, get down to your local non-league teams, support that grassroots football, and keep this British culture alive, because you know, it's fantastic, and it's everyone uniting together, and that's what we need right now, especially during these times. So yeah, I think that's just about the podcast there. So once again, thank you guys for all listening to this podcast. We really do appreciate it. If you do want to check out any of our previous podcasts, please do check the Exit Hub, or alternatively, just search Exit 8 on Spotify. You can find our whole list of previous podcasts. If you're listening to this and you know, you heard the first part where we're talking about the far right and how they look to divide communities, if that's something that you're a part of and you want to, if you want help walking away, please do not be afraid to reach out to us at Exit 8. You can find us online, you can find us on social media, or you can give us a call on 0800 999 1945. That's 0800 999 1945. And we will get back to you as soon as we possibly can with a conversation with one of our mentors. So once again, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode of the Exit 8 podcast.